religious cliches, even orthodox ones, are bad enough. But the one which sets the teeth on edge is the phrase, the magic of Christmas. There is no magic in Christmas at all, because God planned its every step. To talk about the magic of Christmas, stories must be invented to explain the unexplainable. This is the season of Dickens' Christmas Carol, whose Scrooge preaches the fear and wrath as causes of moral behavior better than Moses ever could. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer has its message that physical peculiarities are the key to popularity. And Santa Claus is my favorite because it teaches a reckless abandonment of the giving of gifts to those who at other times of the year we do not always hold in the highest favor. If you are not an anti-TV Scrooge, your children will have an endless supply of stories for this blessed season. Charlie Brown has his pathetic twig for a Christmas tree. Dr. Seuss's Grinch stole Christmas. The mind which does not believe that God acted at the first Christmas must invent stories to provide meaning for the magic of this season. All of these stories we insist upon enjoying, lest we be branded as iconoclastic literary Anabaptists. We, however, know about the true Christmas. Near the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, all the wonderful things of which St. Luke wrote took place. There was the inn in which there was no room for the parents of the Redeemer, Mary and Joseph. There is the cattle barn where the Redeemer was born, and the fields in which shepherds were startled by angels. But the Christmas gospel accounts are not outrageous myths. They're not even stories. God never spins stories out of thin air. In fact, God does not even go around fabricating or inventing events. When God decided to save the world by grace, without any cooperation from anyone, he did not use his imagination. In Christmas, God took the stories he had already told. Everything which he had done in the Old Testament for the salvation of Israel and which he had proclaimed through the holy prophets, which have been since the world began, all that happened again in Christ. God was not working with blank paper in giving us Christmas. He was retelling and rearranging what he had already done. In Christ, God retold the Old Testament stories with an even greater brilliance, with greater depth, and at a higher pitch. The Old Testament is the raw material out of which Christmas and the entire history of salvation are constructed. The God who has spoken to us in these latter days by his Son was already speaking to us in the prophets. God's voice has always been the same, but now its speaker is his own Son. As we who are the church are the extension of Christ as his body in the world, so Christ is the full and complete embodiment of all Old Testament saints, saints whose faith was much greater than ours, because they believed in the Christ who was still coming, but had not come. Genesis to Malachi is the story of Jesus. From Adam to the promise of the forerunner is all about the Christ. As Adam was the first man who brought sin and death into the world, so Jesus was the second and true Adam from heaven, the man from heaven, who brought holiness and life to all. With the Genesis 3 promise that the woman's seed would conquer the serpent, God had already promised back there that the Redeemer would be born of the Virgin. Christmas is the story of Abraham and Isaac, Moses, and of course, Christmas is most of all the story of David and Solomon. Or shall we say with the book of Hebrews, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David and Samuel, and the prophets. But unlike Hebrews, we do have time for David. Think about Bethlehem. Here David was born and chosen as king. He was anointed by Samuel, and in David's life we would see what it would mean to be the Lord's anointed, the king, and the Christ. Here in Bethlehem, David's son, and the true David, the one who is loved by God, because that's what David's name means, the eternal God himself opened up his eyes and shared completely in our human existence. Even if most of us do not go to Bethlehem, as we have heard a few times this past week, we all love that town through whose silent and darkened streets the everlasting light shines. Here in royal David's city stood the lowly cattle shed. Herod's scholars knew Micah's prophecy about Israel's ancient ruler coming from Bethlehem. But even before Micah had prophesied, it was clear that God's true David had to be born in Bethlehem. It could not have been otherwise. God had made a promise to David, and God was determined to keep that promise to David, even if he had to shake the kingdoms of the world to do it. And he did. Caesar Augustus did not know that in his taxation and census, God was keeping his oath to David that his kingdom and his house would last forever, and that his descendants would never fail to sit on David's throne. As the first David came from Bethlehem, so the second and true David had to come from the same place. The God who loves and promises could not have done otherwise. After God had created the world out of nothing, Israel became the raw material out of which he shaped the salvation history, reaching its high point and its zenith in Jesus of Nazareth. Christmas is first of all the celebration of God's ancient people, Israel. God was keeping his promise to them. Our history, our lives, our history is cut out from the same cloth as was the history of Israel and Jesus. Therefore, our history is no less a history of salvation. That church where Jesus is preached and his sacrament is celebrated becomes our Bethlehem. There, in that place, Christmas happens again and again. And there, Jesus enters the hearts of all who believe this message.